the Gospel of Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've sometimes wondered what kind of a housekeeper Sarah was. Or a tent keeper, they were nomads after all. And wherever these oaks were, Mamre was actually an Amorite and had fought at the side of Abraham just prior to Abraham's blessing by Melchizedek. When they all went to fight Chedorlaomer and 9 other kings, I think it was. But you didn't care about that, so I won't expand very much on that. But thinking of Sarah, she probably was very busy. You know, it's dusty out there in the desert, and so she would have had to beat the rugs. She would have had to sweep the floor, and that's something to behold because it's a dirt or a sand floor. And it'd be sort of a never-ending job, wouldn't it? She'd have to manage her household, and we know that that's possibly a fairly large household. In Genesis 14, it says that Abram gathered his trained men and went into battle. These were trained men in his household who had been born in his household, 318 of them. And how could that be? Because Abraham only had Hagar and Sarah, right? Boy, they must have been busy ladies. No, the household, you know, it's the slaves and the other members of the kinship line. But it would have been a large group. When I've read this story about Abraham at this time, sitting at the oaks of Mamre in front of his tent, I've always envisioned a man in robes sitting in the shade of an oak tree or two on a rug, relaxed, waiting for something to happen. And then all of a sudden he sees these men here. But you know, there's something I haven't ever noticed. When he decides that these guys ought to be invited for a barbecue, he tells Sarah to, quick, take 3 measures of flour and make cakes. And then he goes and gets the calf, and they prepare a meal. How much is a measure of flour, do you suppose? If you ever notice the footnote in the Revised Standard, it says Hebrew seah, S-E-A-H-H. So I checked around, and scholars say that a measure of flour is anywhere from 5 to 9 liters. So 3 measures of flour is equivalent to about 2/3 of a bushel of flour. And Abram says, "Sarah, quick, take 2/3 of a bushel of flour and make some cake." I hope she had a kitchen staff. Company, dear? What, 3 visitors? You don't need that much? Well, this is a big event. You know, there's that calf, and then there's the barbecue. And it's sort of like today people go out on the golf course and transact business. Well, back there at the time, among the nomads, they would transact business over a meal because a meal was a mark of hospitality. Hosting strangers was a high priority. After all, you're out there where you can look for miles and you don't see another person, and all you do is see a few sand dunes and maybe a tree or two here at an oasis or something. And people come by. Abram, we're here to visit you. Oh. And that got me thinking. I read this, you know, I don't look at these texts years beforehand or even weeks beforehand. I usually check the Sunday beforehand. And last Sunday when I read this, I got thinking of different aspects of this. And the aspect that caught my eye was this one of hospitality. Abram and Sarah alongside of him, they extend themselves and they show hospitality to these strangers. And I got to thinking, do we show hospitality in our lives? As I looked at the newspaper, I read it every morning, I noticed a number of issues of hospitality that have gotten into the news. This will sound political, but this is issues of hospitality that I have read in the Register Guard, which in some people thinking is political anyway. But since it deals with people, it can't help but be political. So I'm not saying it's Republican or Democrat, I'm just saying be aware. Immigration. Is that an issue of hospitality? How do we deal with the sojourner in our midst? You remember that word from the Ten Commandment passages in Exodus? You care for the sojourner. People asking for asylum. They're running from the enemy, whether that's a drug cartel or starvation. They're running from that and seeking to stay alive. That is an issue of hospitality. Homelessness is an issue of hospitality, and this week, Salem is deciding whether or not to pass a law about sidewalk camping. Is that an issue of hospitality? Or shall RV sites be allowed to a greater degree at Armitage Park? Is that an issue of hospitality? How about the attitude that we hear often, not in my backyard? Is NIMBY an issue of hospitality? Or, you know, we could talk about racism and bigotry. We hear enough about it. How people are dressing. Shall women wear burqas if their religious requirements are there for that? How about the politics of name-calling? Pejoratives like racist or socialist, we hear. We also hear offensive nicknames, and in fact, all of us at some point in our lives have called our brothers and sisters and the neighborhood kids dummy dopes or something like that. That's inhospitable. It is not welcoming. How hospitable are we truly? It's something I've been thinking a lot about this. Do we extend ourselves to others? If somebody comes to the door, do you say through the door, "Who is it? Go away"? Or do you extend yourself? You know, we live in a fairly safe society, so for the most part, most of us would open the door and take a look at it. At who's there. Do we invite them in? Perhaps that's appropriate, perhaps not. Are we willing to? That's the hospitable issue. Do we care for the stranger? Do we love our neighbor? Oh, where'd we hear that before? These questions affect our ministry within the church. Where do we put our resources? Do we extend ourselves to care for others? That is the issue of hospitality. That this text about Abraham with three men that show up at his tent raises for us. Now, this text also relates to the promised offspring. Abram's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. You know, I was teaching Bible study 25, 30 years ago, and I asked, it was all women, I asked women there how many of them were ready to have another baby if they were 90 years old. You know, they did not say that they were. There was a certain reluctance to say, oh yeah, I would. But, you know, yes, this does relate to promised offspring, but while that is a very big issue, and you know, it talks about the Jewish nation, and it talks about Jesus, and it's often preached about, this week, I want us to consider that issue of hospitality. Abraham sets an example for us to emulate, and as such, that relates to our gospel for this day. Mary and Martha, they live in Bethany. We don't know that from Luke. We know that from John. They have a brother named Lazarus. We don't know that from Luke. We know that from John. But Jesus knows them, and he happens to be there for the afternoon or evening. And Martha is distracted. She is doing exactly as Abraham and Sarah had done so many generations before, making sure that everything is just right for their company. And as such, she's doing the right thing. You know, maybe there's dust on the shelf, so he has to go dust. She didn't have a vacuum cleaner, but, you know, she's keeping everything in order. She's preparing the food. And she's just feeling overwhelmed. And she says, Jesus, would you please tell my sister to get up and help me? She can give me a hand because there's so much to do. And I want to do a good thing today. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Now, guys, have you ever found that your wife is concerned about things in the house, and have you ever quoted that to her and said, Martha, Martha? Have any of you dared do that? Nobody's admitting to it, okay? But the point is, what's important? Jesus says Mary has chosen the more important thing. Now, I compliment Martha. She knew that lesson from Abraham. Get everything just right, show hospitality. So figuratively, she's gotten the young calf, she's made her 6 gallons of flour into bread, and she's set the table, and she's dusking, and maybe looking up and seeing the windows need washing or something like that. She's a great housekeeper, she's always busy. But there's another kind of hospitality in this gospel text. And that's the kind of hospitality that Mary is showing. She is not showing the hospitality of a host. She is showing the hospitality of a receiver. She welcomes Jesus into herself. Martha's busy doing the stuff that's required by duty. Mary is doing the things that are allowed, made possible because of her relationship with Jesus. She welcomes the chance for that relationship. She welcomes Jesus into her heart. She sits at his feet and listens to him. And what he says undoubtedly warms her heart. Mary is not meeting the formal obligations, doing what's expected so that she wouldn't be criticized. She sets the world aside and she brushes off her sister's criticism, presumably brushes it off. Undoubtedly, there were conversations later on about what went on. But at this time, she's focusing on Jesus, and she's listening to what he is saying, and her relationship with him. And that's the kind of hospitality we can show to one another all the time. If somebody speaks to us, we don't brush them off. We listen to them and interact with them and try to understand where they're coming from and where they are. Jesus didn't stop at Mary and Martha's house just for bed and breakfast. He wasn't just some anonymous client for the night. Mary welcomes Jesus into her life, and that changes her. And if we welcome Jesus into our lives, then that changes us too. Because when Jesus interacted with people, he also showed the kind of hospitality that Mary showed with him. Jesus would listen to a person and find out who they are and what they're doing. And he would send them on their way better for that interaction. Jesus in our lives would change our outlook, our attitudes, and our actions. And then all of our inhospitality, can you say that fast? Inhospitality. All of our inhospitality comes into focus and we see our sin. Yeah, sinners, we are. But we're saints too because we have Christ with us. And we more clearly see that we have a call to serve. Abraham's life was changed because of his interaction and his welcome. Mary's life was changed because of that interaction with Jesus and her welcome of him. And we imagine how our lives can be changed each and every day as we once again renew our relationship with Christ and allow him into our hearts and our lives. Amen.